The views expressed are not necessarily those of 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now, Compton & Company, brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. Oh, yeah, baby. You know, I was at the gym at 7 o'clock this morning. Had this song playing in the headset. I mean, my goodness. I mean, look, I got to hear it 5 hours ago. I'm here at a high noon. That's right. It's Enter Sandman. It's Metallica. We're here at the L House. You're truly Ron Compton. A late arriving Chuck Elliott. He says he's been detoured. Who knows where he is? Casey Dobson back at the 1010XL headquarters.
Let's go!
Making all things happen. Let's go, baby. It's time. I mean, I took a week off and I'm back. I don't know that 2 hours is enough, but we're going to see if we can squeeze it all into 2 hours. A lot going on today. We've got, obviously, spring games all over the place. We've got the Masters ongoing, and we'll certainly keep you updated there as there's updates at each and every break. Bad news if you're an Atlanta Braves fan.
Oh, you know, don't talk to me, man. I woke up this morning and read it.
Yeah. Our fear has been confirmed at least. I mean, I'm always a glass half full dude. You know, I am. I always, people say, man, Ron, that glass isn't just half full. It's overflowing. And so I guess the glass half full, it's not Tommy John. It's, you know, it's like an elbow brace type of surgery. So he'll miss the rest of this year, Will Spencer Strider. But if it were Tommy John, he'd miss the next two seasons. So I'm trying to find that silver lining. It's not really one, but. Boy, oh boy, Braves Nation dealt a severe blow with Spencer Strider being out the remainder of the 2024 season.
I'm saying,
and it's been a weird start for the Braves, too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying this right now, okay?
Yep.
You need to go out there right this minute, and you need to call up your best trading partners.
You're correct.
Yep, and you need to call up Oakland and say, hey, what's that Blackburn Ken doing? Hey, what's J.P. Sears doing? Because they are looking good, those pitchers over there, and you just need an arm, but you need to be making phone calls right after the surgery came through and you got a bill of, hey, everything went well. Anthopoulos should have been on the phone and saying, hey, who can we get? Because we need it. It's way too early in the season to cash it in and think that one of these younger arms that are not ready are ready.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're certainly not cashing things in, right? I mean, the Braves think that they can obviously go out and hit people, and to speak to something that you just said, right? They are under the impression, Double A, Alex Anthopoulos, that he probably thinks, you know, look, our farm system has been great. We've got a bunch of really good young arms. We can just go bring one of our dudes up. Well, I'm not really on board with that myself either. They brought up Alex Winans to start against the Mets and Strider start a couple of days ago, and you seen how that played out, right? I mean, dude ended up, I don't know, they lost 16-4, okay?
I think his ERA ended up being his weight.
Yeah. I mean, look, you go and you look at, you know, when you look at the Braves, you know, 40-man roster, and then you go look at all the young arms they have down on the farm, you know, you've got, you know, Darius Vines, obviously, is down there. Smith Shawver is down there as well. Look, you've got but again, they're young arms. You know, we're not sure when postseason hero in the 2021 campaign, Ian Anderson, is back. Remember, he had elbow surgery, and we wondered what his issue was. But we found out that you could attribute a lot of the problems to that. Bryce Elder, he's down there making starts at AAA currently. So what, you know, can he come back and can he help? But then, look, then you look at, you know, with Strider being down, look, Max Fried, obviously, knock on wood, Fried is healthy and right now. as is Chris Sale and is Charlie Morton. But Charlie Morton's 40. Chris Sale's 34. Max Fried has had some dings here or there over the course of the last couple of years, whether it's a hamstring last year to start the season or arm issues, right? So he's had stuff going on. So, really, instead of trading, Major League Baseball, I'd reach out to the villain, Trevor Bauer. I'm reaching out to Trevor Bauer right now and send to heck with the rest of Major League Baseball. And look, it's not a – look, he was cleared of any wrongdoing with the alleged sexual assault or rape allegations. It was a complete setup. The girl set him up. She's admitted to it. All that stuff is over. And that's not why baseball is steering clear of him. It's the he's the dude that has called out baseball and has exposed baseball to all the foreign substances, the spider tag that's been used and in different things. That's why they don't like him. But look, I think I may be in the minority here. I'm all for let the pitchers use whatever they need to use to get that extra advantage. Let them use anything. Because what's happening is it's a couple of reasons for all these injuries. Just go look at the LA Dodgers pitching staff alone. And Les, we welcome Chuck Elliott to the show. They've got, Bueller is shelved. Dustin May. I mean, they've got a lot of dudes that, I mean, obviously Shohei as well. Tony Gonsolin's out until 2025. Yeah, I mean, look, just on one staff alone. And to me, it's all about it's this spin rate. Let's throw the ball as hard as we can, and let's make it break as much as we can. And to me, if you allow these pitchers to have the, whether it's spider tack or whatever, you're going to now – they're not going to put so much torque on the elbow to create the spin rate. Right now, without the use of anything, it's killing these guys' elbows. And you couple that with – and look, I've coached for 16 years youth baseball from 4 and 5 year olds up to 19-year-olds. And I'm not saying every coach, obviously, but shame on a lot of these travel ball coaches and high school coaches, middle school coaches, for not communicating and wearing these young arms out. You'll have a kid that plays on a high school team, plays on a travel team. These coaches aren't communicating. Kid goes out and throws 90 pitches on Monday for his travel team and then pitches on Thursday for his high school team and throws the other 100 pitches. And that's also crushing these kids and these arms, man. It's bad, and they've got to find a way to limit this stuff, Chuck. No, you know what? Hold on, Chuck. I've messed up here. You know, I set it up, Chuck. And now you can be heard, Chuck.
But anyway, I miss beginning of this. But I guess you're talking about all the pitcher injuries now.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know if you mentioned this, but of course the union's blaming this on the pitch clock. I read an interview with Justin Verlander. He said basically the problem is, like you said, kids now from 10 years old are throwing as hard as they can at 10 years old.
And curveballs.
And now it said, actually, I don't know if it's him that said it, but your arm is not really ready for that until maybe you get in your early to mid-20s. Wearing out in high school.
Yeah, you should never throw a breaking pitch until you're in high school. In fact, what I would say is – yeah, you could. I had a buddy of mine. He would call it a football curveball. You can just grip the ball, the baseball, in different ways, and without changing your throwing motion, that would create some break. Obviously, it's not going to give you that 6-12 or 9-3. It's not going to give you the sweeping action. It's not going to give you a ton of spin, but it will move the ball some to kick the ball off the barrel of the bat, which is ultimately what you're trying to do as a younger pitcher. But when you're teaching these kids at such a young age to throw as hard as they can, when you think about the most, one of the most, you go look at some of the still shots. When you see videos, it doesn't do it justice. You go look at still photos of these arms, the arm angles and motions of when guys are throwing pitches. It's one of the most unnatural things you can do to a person. And now if you start this at such a young age, throw it as hard as you can, and then when you throw this breaking stuff, break it off as much as you can, you're taxing these arms, man, and it's just bad.
So what do you think is going to be done? I say nothing. I mean, you're never going to get this stopped. I mean, they're going to have these kids throwing right away as young as they can. You know, they're not going to
– It's going to take the parents. Okay.
Wait on that for 100 years.
No. Think about this for a second. Okay, so this is the crazy thing to me. If you had a kid and you're going to go take your son or daughter and you're going to go take them, say, to acting school, or you're going to probably check the credentials of whomever is putting that on. I'm going to have my kid learn how to play the piano. Mm-hmm. The guitar, whatever. You may look at the qualifications of the people that's teaching, correct? But how many times do you'll sit there and you'll have a parent, you'll go drop 11-year-old Noah off at this, you know, go play 12U travel ball, but because his coach says, hey, I'm a travel coach, you trust this guy must be a really good coach. Hell, you don't have to have any qualifications. You can go out, get a bunch of kids, go charter at a park, go get your insurance, and I'm a travel coach, put a bunch of kids together, and go put these kids in tournaments, which is a shame. Look, most of these coaches are good dudes. Again, I've coached for 16 years, I get it. But there's so many people that go out and do it just for a cash grab. They make their livings out just coaching travel ball, and some of them are really good coaches and know what the hell they're doing. Some of them don't know.
But I think that has nothing to do with my question, because my point is, it's all about how hard can you throw. That's not going to change.
Well, the parents,
I don't care how good a coach is.
The parents, it's the mechanics that you're teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, it's proper mechanics. You can have someone that is using their lower half and they're very rotational. You can do that without taxing the arm. But if you're not rotational, you're not using your lower half, and you're using all arm, and that's where you're throwing the ball, not being taught the proper way, that makes it even worse. That's all. There's different ways of doing things. And again, I would say, and also these perfect game tournaments and all this. And so, hey, you know, we're not gonna, you know, say you stop playing ball in the spring, if you play some in the summer, then you shut it down for a bit, and all of a sudden there's a perfect game in the, you know, a showcase in the fall. All right, let's go ramp it up. And you can't ramp it up that quickly.
I know we got to go to break, but do you think it's bad that baseball isn't seasonal anymore? I mean, baseball is, if you want to play, you can play year-round. There's tournaments in December.
I wish it would get back to being more seasonal. I really do. I wish it would get back to be more seasonal. We're going to break here, but as we do, Casey Dobson threw out our poll questions of the day, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss those on the other side.
Yeah, man. So we got two poll questions for the listening audience out there today. The first one is, with these college football spring games, what is your level of interest? I'm all in, some interest, and could care less. These poll questions, by the way, are brought to you by the Allsite Contracting, Inc. And the second one is, now that the deal with Josh Allen is done, if the draft capital works, who you want, Duval? Ayuk, Higgins, or DK Metcalf? Right now, Ayuk is leading the way with 45%, and leading the way in the college football spring game question is, I could care less.
All right, Casey. I was going to give you a pass. You said it a second time. I could care less. It's I couldn't care less. If you could care less, that's one of my pet peeves. People say I could care less. I got to get on to you.
No, and you're right. It to me, it is, you know, as Mike did. He's over there messing with his own dials, well, and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing over there. And
all
he's
right,
messed
you're
up.
About to
and,
get, you're about and, to get
and now
fired.
And now he's mad. Now he's mad. Now he's mad. He's mad. He's folded his arms. He's talking about being loud. He needs to quit being the old man, get off my lawn type of dude, and get on the air. But you let, if I, what I have to do, I guess during the break, is I'll fix it, Chuck, to your liking. Okay, we'll get you some oatmeal as well for lunch, and then we'll come back after the break and talk more sports with you on 1010 XL. And welcome back to Kaufman Company, coming from the L House in Tinseltown. Come on, say hello to us. Major League Baseball, the Masters, college spring ball, you name it, it's all here. Daily drink specials, bucket specials, every UFC event, every pay-per-view, every whether it's baseball extra innings, NBA League Pass, Center Ice, NFL Ticket, you name it, all the games are here. Over 70 television screens in the house as well. And we're here every Saturday, 12 until 2 o'clock. Let's go with our two poll questions, and then we'll address the Jaguars-related one this segment. Casey Dobson, remind folks again of our poll question and where folks stand.
All right, so our poll questions today brought to you by Allsite Contracting, Inc. The first one, college football spring games are starting off today. I think the Gators will be kicking off in about 30 minutes. What is your interest level? All in, some interest, and could care less. And right now we only got 55 votes in, but that could care less is leading the way at 63%.
All right.
And then our second one, this one's getting a lot of attention. It's now that Josh Allen deal has his deal done, if the draft capital works, who we want, Duvall, Ayuk, Higgins, DK Metcalf. And Ayuk's leading the way with 47.1%. But, Ron, what do you think about DK?
Let me tell you, Ayuk would be third on my list. DK's number one by a mile.
Would you go T. Higgins over?
No. Here's why. And I would take Higgins or Ayuk. Ayuk, yeah. Ayuk to me, and I'll go in reverse order here. I guess I look at what's around him. When you've got, CMC, right? George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. There's weapons all over the place. I get Ayuk is a nice player. I look at T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, well, now the departed Joe Mixon. They've got guys there as well. I look at DK Metcalf. I think he ran like into four threes at the combine in the 40. And I know I always talk about that being such an overrated event, but he's also football fast. I always say parking lot fast, football fast. He's got football fast. So he's not just a 4-3 guy on the track. He's also that on the field. He plays fast. He's also like 6'4", 240. A huge red zone target. You know, I think he had like eight or nine touchdown receptions last year, over 1,100 yards. And that's what's weird. There's only like 8 or 9 guys in the NFL they had over 1,000 yards receiving and 9 or more touchdown receptions. One of those guys is Calvin Ridley. Another one, obviously, is here with DK Metcalf. But that was quietly done by DK. And I remember when the Seahawks drafted with the Njigba out of Ohio State last year, Jackson Smith and Njigba, to go along with Tyler Lockett. There were some whispers that DK was disenchanted. He wanted a new deal. He's got 2 years left on his contract. And obviously he wasn't moved. But that's the reason I throw him in there. The Jaguars now are after the Josh Allen deal, which moves his cap number down to $11 million this year, now third in the NFL in cap room. $31 million the Jaguars have at their disposal. But now they've now done it when there's not a whole lot left in free agency. You know, I'm not looking. Has it been publicly said as of the last few weeks that DK is on the market? But he was last offseason, and then the Seahawks draft a wide receiver in the first round. I've got to think that he might be available. That's why I throw him out there, and that would be my guy if he's indeed maybe quietly on the market. And he, you know what? It would cost you less draft capital as well. Because the other two dudes, you know, plus they're both going. You know, Higgins was franchised, and Ayuk is going into the last year of his contract. So you could get a guy that has an additional year, and I think it would cost you less to get him. Who would your guy be, Chuck?
No, I take T. Higgins, number one. Ayuk two, and Metcalf would be three.
Yeah, and I figured most people would probably have Metcalf third, but he'd be my guy number one, easily number one, just based on, like
Metcalf?
I said. Yes.
But he's not even – so I don't even think he's out there, though, right, as it's really been talked about.
Like I just said.
Yeah, I know. But
what I just said, he was mentioned as a trade possibility around last year's draft. He was disenchanted with his contract, wasn't happy.
He didn't get a new contract?
And he's only got 2 years left on his deal.
Only 2 years left.
Only 2 years left.
Okay, that's he got a 3-year deal last year.
No. He didn't get a new deal. He didn't get a new
deal.
He's on his rookie deal.
I mean, he seems like he's been in the league forever.
He might have got extended a year or so. I'm not sure how long he's been in the league.
Been around a long time. In fact, I was thinking when you mentioned his name, I was thinking, well, that's a guy probably close to 30 years old who you may not want to take a look at.
But he's 27.
So he's probably been in the league 5 years, 4 years,
27.
5 years.
So he's under contract. Let's see. No, I guess you know what he did get a deal. He's under contract. He's under contract through 25. Yeah, he'll be.
So he's probably not going to be
free agent 26.
He's probably not going to be on the market then. I wouldn't think.
Again, it could be because again they've got Tyler Lockett who's has a high cap number. They just spent a number one draft pick on a wide receiver last year, so he could be. And again, he was on the market this past offseason. So yeah. I'm not saying that they're actively shopping him. But you hear trades all the time. Oh, man, I didn't see that coming.
But wouldn't it take kind of like a stupid trade for the Seahawks to part?
I don't think so. No, because, again, he was unhappy with his contract this past season. That's why there was, you know, he was mentioned as trade bait last year, but a trade didn't happen. So, again, now you've got Lockett and Jigba. And DK, it wouldn't shock me to see him moved at all. But that's why I threw him out as a third option. And again, I think that you could get him for a little less in terms of what it would cost you as well. What are your thoughts on the Josh Allen deal, Chuck?
You know me, don't like it.
You don't like it?
I guess it's just old man.
What's not to like?
I guess the money doesn't matter. The money is crazy. I just always worry that when someone gets their second contract, they just – how many times, in case you can chime in, too, it seems like it's most times when you give somebody a big second contract, they do not perform to what you expect. 3 years down the road, you're like, boy, we regretted that. And that's not a Josh Allen thing. That's just an overall generalization.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you think about it, like, we always hear – like, especially in baseball, I know baseball and football different, but when you hear that a player is in their, air quotes, contract year, do they perform? Oh, my goodness. And then they get that contract, and, yeah, you end up making that statement a couple of years later as a fan base, like, man, we really did that. It's like you have to wonder, like, has it been in there all along? You just didn't want to lay out for the team, like, once you got drafted and you get your money and, you know, what's the mindset? You know, you have to wonder for real. But
well, let me ask you guys this. I'll take the other side of that. Okay. There have been many of guys that have signed their second contracts and have performed exceptionally well.
Oh, it's happened.
Okay, it's happened more so than the other one. It happened way. That happens. It happens far more of that than a guy that's on the second contract and is no good.
Oh, I said no. I
most
think,
of them are better.
I think.
Hold on. Let me. Okay. I'll let you go. So I think what happens is, number one, you would hope that when you go give a guy a second contract, you know him, right? You know his character and the type of work ethic he has. You've seen what he's done, not just in his contract year, but how much effort he gave in his rookie year, second year, third year, whatever the case may be. It could be, hey, maybe the guy just got better. Maybe you put other guys around him that are better that allows him to perform at a higher level. Maybe it's a lot of that stuff. Maybe you don't, because to me, sacks, when people look at the 17.5 sacks, I remember David Lamb years ago. Yeah, I talk about the 40-yard dash time being overrated. The sack total sometimes can be overrated.
Right.
Okay, look at the pressures. Because pressures create bad passes, maybe turnovers, fumbles, interceptions, whatever the case may be. He doesn't just have a lot of sacks. He has a ton of pressures as well. And he had a ton of pressures the prior couple of years as well. He just wasn't getting all the way home. I don't think for one second that he tried harder in his contract year than he tried in year three. I think sometimes you just get better as a player, and it finally comes together. To me, look, 5 years, and the way it's structured's good for the Jaguars. He's 27. The first 3 years, the cap numbers are $11 million, $15 million, then $23.5 million. Year four, which I don't think you'll ever see unless they restructure it, is where the cap number is $40 million.
So what's his guarantee, like 88?
His guarantee, his true guarantee, not 88, his true guarantee is 76.5.
Oh, okay. Well, 12 okay.
Million. That's still a big difference. I mean, they said that is, you know, it was a 150. It's not even a 150 value. The true number is 141 and change is the true number. And the full guarantee is not 88, it's 76.5. Still a lot of money, but still falls well short of what's been reported.
And that's not a Josh Allen. That's a human nature thing. If you were given, I don't know, Ron, they said, okay, we're giving you, all of a sudden it's your job. They said, guess what? We're giving contracts now. We're giving you a 10-year contract for $2 million, and we got $1.2 million guarantee. I will guarantee you would not try as hard. And that's not you being lazy. That's just I've made it. It's especially that you bust your butt for so many years.
No, it depends on the person, right? And I get what you're saying. And that goes back to me hoping that whether it's the Jaguars or the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Packers or whomever, when they decide to go all in, whether it's a quarterback or a defensive end or a cornerback or a wide receiver, when they decide to go all in and give them a huge second contract, that they know the person, right? And they think, okay, is this the type of guy, and I get what you're saying, Chuck, is this the type of player or person that, man, we show them all this money, and now they're going to, man, I've got all this money, and I'm going to relax a little bit and not give as much as I've given in the past, or is it the type of person that wants to go prove to everyone you are right for giving me that money? I'm going to show people you're damn right, I deserve that, and I'm going to even enhance my game and make it even better.
And before we go to break real quick, I think we talked about this. This leads right in. The Stephon Diggs trade. Okay, if Buffalo wanted out of that deal, shouldn't that be something to you that, look, this guy is a problem?
Well,
you think, I'm telling you, a couple of years, Texans are going to be like, why did we do
that?
There's
no couple of years. This is where the Texans were brilliant. It was a brilliant move by the Texans. Brilliant move by the Texans. Texans, here's why. They voided the last 2 years of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a one-year deal for $23 million for Stephon Diggs. So now Stephon Diggs is in, if you think he's a malcontent or whatever, if he's a diva, which most receivers are, now he's going to give 1,000,000% because he's an unrestricted free agent and he wants the next contract. So the Texans were geniuses by giving up just a second-round pick. They're going all in with their young quarterback, go get them a true, legit number one wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, who, when he's at his best, is a top-five receiver in the National Football League. Now he's got something to prove, because, again, he wants a contract for 2025 and beyond.
Okay, so back to what Casey said, talking about the contract year, you think if he busts his butt this year, you think if he gets a big contract, he's going to go right back to being a Falcon.
It doesn't matter, but what I'm saying, it was a great move by the Texans.
Unless they give him a stupid next contract. If they do that, then they're dumb.
But for right now,
they're okay for 1 year.
Why do you think they voided the last 2 years of the contract? Because it wasn't like it was a bad deal for them numbers-wise. It wasn't a bad average. So they voided those 2 years. Why? So they would get – it's basically a 1 year rental for them. We're going to go all in right now with C.J. Stroud and company, and we're going to go pay this dude this, knowing that – we're not going to re-sign him unless he can really prove to us he's worthy of it after year one.
Now, you're going to agree with me on this because you've said this. I think the Texans over-under is, what, like 10.5? Fate, take the under. C.J. Stroud may not be always cracked up to be. Everybody's in on him, and I don't know.
Well, you know what? We'll talk about that when we come back. We got that. We've got – I'm going to – Casey Dobson, we're gonna ask him about his most recent trip to Truist Park this past weekend. We were all last weekend. He and his lovely bride, Ray, were in Atlanta, Cobb County, Georgia, this past weekend.
Where the big boss man was.
Ask him about his trip. we've got on this – on this day in sports, today is a loaded one. It's fantastic. We'll give you baseball and golf. We'll give you all that stuff when we come back to broadcast you from the Ale House in Tinseltown on 1010 XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company, coming to you from the Ale House in Tinseltown. Chuck Elliott, Casey Dobson, Ron Compton, glad to have you along for the ride. 641-1010, 641-1010, phone lines, text lines open to you. Poll questions out there are these.
That me?
Jackson, we got you. Go ahead, Casey.
All right. So, again, the poll questions out there today getting a lot of traction, brought to you by Allsite Contracting, Inc. With the college football spring games in full effect starting this weekend, in about 10 minutes, you got the Gators kicking off. Do you have an interest level, and if so, what is it? I'm all in. I have some interest, or could care less. With
could.
It, hey, I sent Ron a message. Look here, the dictionary's got
here
my back.
Here we go. I'm gonna read it.
The dictionary's got my back there.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
If you could care less, it means
could care less.
I couldn't care. So if I said Casey, what if Casey is producing a show today?
I love it.
If I said I could care less, it means that, well, I must like you because I could. If I could care less, it means that, well, I don't care at all. So
couldn't care less just sounds wrong to me.
It does, but it's grammatically correct.
You know why it sounds wrong? Because it sounds like a double negative.
That's
and
right.
It is.
That's right.
Say, hey, couldn't you're always taught in school to not use double negatives, and couldn't care less is to me. As far as the thought process, the right way, but it's the wrong way because you're using a double negative.
I'm just saying.
I can shoot holes in both of those.
In numerous things that would err on, or like you know side with me. So,
well, I mean,
she's got my back.
Yeah, and because
sometimes I have her back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you are the property of Ray.
Yeah, I almost think you did some research on that.
And so our second poll question brought to you by Allsite Contracting, Inc. Mm-hmm. is now that Josh Allen has his deal done, if the draft capital works, who you want, Duvall, Ayuk, Higgins, and we're throwing out a dark horse there when we say DK Metcalf. But to chime in on the question that Chuck asked, look, money talks, and if you throw some money towards Seattle's way, of course you can get decaf. Anybody's for sale.
He was up on the trading block last time this time. He was on the trading block. They were talked. Where is he going to go? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to be moved? He didn't. And then again, then they drafted a wide receiver in the first round, which tells me that there's a chance that he could be there. Anyway, we'll see. All right. Casey, because this is a short segment here, unfortunately. We've got a bunch of Masters. By the way, I can't wait next hour to talk Tiger Woods for an hour. That's going to be delight.
Funny, he was under par, so his back was doing pretty good. He didn't have his back issues. I guess that's what a shooting under par would do for you.
That's all I have to do is mention Tiger Woods, and it wakes Chuck up. Can't stand Tiger. I don't understand why. I love Tiger. Tiger's the man.
Ugh.
He's that guy. He is him, Chuck. He is him, Chuck. What do you think about that?
He is him.
He is him.
Well, the cut line moved to like from -3 or +3 to +6, so he easily made the cut.
He sure did. And if that hadn't been the case, if it were close, you would have said it was the Tiger effect is the reason he made the cut, right?
Well, 20 years ago, I'd have been just worried he's going to win, but I think it's pretty safe. I mean, he's not going to win,
okay,
thankfully. But as soon as I say that, God, if he won another Masters, it would be. Well, he would tie the greatest golfer of all time.
Will it devastate
Masters.
You?
Yes.
It would devastate you? I'm just wondering. All right, Casey Dobson, you and your lovely bride took a trip to Cobb County, Georgia last weekend. I was in Tallahassee for baseball. You were in Atlanta for a little baseball.
Tallacrappy.
Tell us about your trip.
All right, so this will bring in us into the next hour. So we go up. The wife gets me surprise tickets because I've never been to a home opener. Now on the list, I need to go to an opening day, but you just got to schedule with MLB that way. So we go to the home opener.
You just got to go to Tokyo for that.
That's right,
okay.
Right. Yeah. So we go to the home opener. Now the lovely wife, she made a little error in judgment. She went for the ticket cost but didn't pay attention to the ticket location. And we were all the way at the top of Truist Park. When I say all the way at the top.
You were in the clouds.
To our backs was the fence to keep us from falling out the stadium and falling down four. Not a problem. You could really see it. It's like a Coliseum-style seating. So you could see everything. But when you're not that close, you kind of lose attention anyway. So we took in the festivities. We also went into the gift shop. We got a couple of things. We come back in about the seventh inning. Score was 5-2. Bottom of the eighth, we make it 5-3. I look at the wife. We're kind of shivering a little bit up there. I look at her, and I think my fandom card's going to get pulled for a couple of days for this. I said, hey, I don't think Olsen and Riley are doing really well today. You want to go? She looks at me and says, yeah. So we start making our way down the stadium. We hear the top of the ninth. We get outside the stadium walls. We're walking up. Austin Riley walks, I believe is how it goes. We get into the cab. Matt Olsen doubles. It's now 5-4. Ozuna comes up, makes it 5-5. Ultimately, walk-off victory. It's happened now 2 years in a row in Atlanta. And we were in our hotel room watching the fireworks go off. We missed the walk-off. I was so upset. I was doing my best to maintain. I just looked at the wife. And then I forgot to mention this last night when I told you this story. I am a little bit superstitious, and I think we won that game because we left. Boom! There you go. That's to me, that's vindication in my mind. That's vindication for me.
I don't think you've been vindicated at all. Okay,
so
I'm pulling your Braves card.
For 3 days. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Well, in
Miami. And here's why. Okay. Here's why, because you made this long trip to Atlanta. Drove six and a half hours, and it takes a little longer to get to Cobb County. It's on a suburb of Atlanta, so it's not like you're the old. So you're 6 hours. You drove 6 hours to get there. I understand, get a little chilly, but it's not like you're in Anchorage, Alaska. Okay, you're in Cobb County, Georgia. You're there. It's the home opener for the Atlanta Braves. Your team, something you've never done before, and it's the same Braves team that has a murderer's row of modern day as a lineup. I mean, they hit 1-9, no hole in the lineup. They had a lot of come-from-behind victories last year. They'll have a lot more than they need to this year with the pitching staff limitations they have currently. So, no, you can't leave. You can't leave. And you know what? Hey, Ray, I like you a whole bunch. You're as cool as the other side of a pillow. But look, when he said that, you should have looked at him and said, are you out of your damn mind? You know, I got you these tickets for your birthday, and we're watching this game. Yes. There you go.
Ail it. Always leave early, I say. Ail.
There you go. Chuck's, like I said, old man, get off my lawn.
He's beat the traffic.
Beat the traffic.
There's 161 right. more games to
That's
go.
That's right. That's right. We're going to drive 12 hours round trip. Sure, let's beat the traffic.
Even better. Why'd you even go? You could have watched it on TV.
There you go. Chuck said, don't go to any games live. Just watch everything on TV.
That's right. It's all
He doesn't care about experience.
It's all
game
TV,
day experience.
Say.
Doesn't care about any of that. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back. We're going to talk about on this day in sports. See, I got some really good ones for today on April 13th throughout the last 100 years, Chuck and Casey. That and more from the old house in Tinseltown on 1010 XL.
Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
Oh, great song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
The Cranberries, right?
Yeah.
So are you guys, like, I know I told Ron and Chuck you weren't there. You coming in late like you always do.
Yep.
So there is a theme to these songs that I've been playing. Do y'all need me to recap them for you?
Well, you played Black Hole Sun.
Very
you
good.
Played, is this like 1994 song or something?
Okay. Okay.
Is that it?
Okay. Any significance? any reason why I might be playing some 94 songs?
1994. Oh, wow.
Oh.
94. Wow.
94. What happened in 94? I was 10.
OJ.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's OJ.
Hold on.
We didn't talk about OJ yet.
We haven't.
I like old Caitlin / Bruce Jenner's tweets at Good Riddance.
I agree. Good riddance, man.
Oh, good job, man. I mean, I can still play some more 94 songs that I pulled up.
But did you like that I just pulled that out? 1994
hey,
song.
Look at that, man. You know what, Chuck?
Who do you think you're talking to?
I honestly didn't
here?
Doubt you. I did not
He's
doubt
Jim
you
Lang.
At all.
I can name that tune in three notes.
So, good job, man. Good job.
Although, I actually thought Black Hole Sun was 93, but I knew that that last song was 94.
So we're going to go on this day in sports, and then we'll end the. Then we'll end this segment with a little the juices on the loose. Who's now in the dirt? When the segment we're talking about. I mean, a dude that went from we'll do OJ and then we'll do on this day in sports. OJ Simpson. I remember as a kid, right, watching him in those FedEx commercials.
FedEx? He did. Was it Avis or Hertz?
Oh, no, you're right. Hertz. Right.
Yeah.
Running through the airport. The Hertz commercial. The Naked Gun movie.
Yeah. He was great, though.
Oh, people love him.
Nuremberg.
I mean, on the sideline, sideline reporter. He was beloved. I mean, he was like, good-looking dude. I mean, had it all. Fame, fortune, big smile. I mean, gosh, everyone loved him. Everyone loved O.J. Simpson. Then you found out what he really was.
Does it go back to what I say? I'm not original, and I'll have to give Pete Prisco credit on this. You think you know people just because they're stars. You don't know anybody. I mean, you think you know people, but you don't in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I mean, if I ask you in early 1994, what do you think about O.J.? Oh, great guy. You know,
great dude, yeah.
Great dude, blah, blah, blah. Most people are good, but you just don't know.
Well, you know what they say, you know, you judge character by what you do behind when no one's watching, right?
Uh-oh.
Right? When watching. And, just a bad human, right? Just a bad human. You know, he a bit of karma, obviously.
I don't know. He made it this. He
well,
made
no,
it 20,
no,
30
no,
years
I,
after.
No, what I mean, a bit of karma when he gets thrown in jail for how many years for?
Like nine?
For stealing his own stuff back?
Yeah, that was a makeup call, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. It was a bit of karma, right? He was free for a while, but then obviously, was exiled from everything. And then he goes to prison for stealing his memorabilia back.
Right.
So that's what I mean by karma. And then obviously now dead at the age of 76. Again, like Caitlyn Jenner said, Bruce Jenner, whatever, good riddance, man. You know what I mean? Really. The story should be that Nicole Brown Simpson would be 64 and Ron Goldman would be 55. That's really what the story is. You know, it just terrible,
what
man.
What was crazy is that was a $33 million civil judgment is now ballooned with interest up to, what, $133 million?
Yeah, I wonder if, now the – obviously, now the bestsellers list now was the book he wrote you know, if I did do it, whatever it was called.
And the Goldman family does get money from
that. Do they get money? So,
yes.
Okay, well, good.
And they're going to try to get money off his estate, but you know, they couldn't get his pension or anything. So you wonder how much money did he have when he died.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was getting a lot of endorsements, so I don't know what.
Oh, and I'm sure, you know, because he had cancer and he knew it was coming, I'm sure he got a high-priced attorney and did what he could
Hello,
to put as much
world.
Money in different areas, right, so that it couldn't be gotten from
now, to tell, to
the Golden
kind of,
family.
Ron, you may have seen this. Oh, Casey, have you ever watched the 30 for 30 called June 17, 1994? It talks about everything that was happening on that day.
I haven't seen that.
Have you ever watched that 30 for 30, Ron?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Outstanding. It was, of course, O.J.
There was the NBA Finals, right?
NBA Finals. It was Arnie's last day playing the U.S. Open. It was his last round there. I think it was Ken Griffey Jr. did something amazing. That there's like five different things in sports going on at the same time. So that 30 for 30 just goes back. It's like talking about the day. And, of course, I remember, you know, you're watching the finals. That was the Houston and the Knicks.
And they cut into the Broncos.
And what was crazy, going 30, Casey, you were at 10 at the time, but – It was crazy because you thought that when O.J. got back, you thought he was just going to kill himself right there in the back of that Bronco.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knew what was going to happen. But the funniest thing about going back and watching that, you know, I remember going back and I didn't think of it then, but watching it, you know, in replay, there was one, remember they're all waiting in his house when he got back.
Yeah.
Just there was people, reporters, and one reporter said, hey, I borrowed a cellular phone from someone. That's a cellular phone.
And Casey, he and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, when he watched all of the O.J. Simpson, the documentary, the whatever it was on, I don't know if it was on, I think it's a Netflix one or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you were telling me about what the jury said post-trial, Casey.
Yeah, so the way that I remember it is the jury, when they were interviewed, they were basically like, it didn't matter what was going to be presented to them. They were getting back at the, you know, state of California for the Rodney King trial, and they were going to have a not guilty verdict.
Because it had to be unanimous, right? I'm sure not everyone thought like that, but it had to be unanimous to convict him, correct?
So, oh yeah, yep.
I'm sure it wasn't 12-0, but still you had to have everyone on board.
You have to have everyone on board in either direction.
Yeah.
Ultimately, or it's a hung jury.
Yeah, but so they ended up with 12 saying not guilty.
That's correct.
So the ones that thought not guilty convinced the guilties to change to. So I go back to I have a few people that think he didn't do it. So I always go to, okay, if he did do it, what's your theory that happened? Was there
the robber waiting there? No, the other theory I've heard, and there's stuff out there. You want to go on the, you know, do some digging, and there's some people that subscribe to the theory that it was his son, and he covered up for his son, that his son and Nicole had something going on, and he was infatuated with her, and O.J. Covered up for her son. I don't buy that theory, but that is one that is out there. Let's go to Derek at 641-1010. What's up, Derek?
Hey, it's Eric from Arlington.
Eric, what's going on, Eric?
Hey, so real quick, I just want to say I think O.J. has CTE, and I wonder if they're going to check his brain. A lot of these guys volunteered to have their brain autopsied if they played in the NFL, and I wonder if they're going to autopsy his brain. I think dude has CTE. You think about it. The O.J. of 25 years old would not have done this, what he did to those two people. But the O.J. of 50 did. So what happened in the interim? He's got his head bashed in, and now, you know, he's gone the way of so many of these other guys that had CTE.
Nope. Eric, we'll comment on that, man. We appreciate the call. You're breaking up a little bit. But I would say this,
my theory.
I get where CTE can, obviously, it's Junior Seau committed suicide, and it's caused people to do things they obviously normally might not do. But to just throw that broad brush, hey, man, the OG of 25 wouldn't do what he did at 50. You could say that about a lot of people in general, good and bad, but I don't know.
There's people that did play football that murdered, but
yeah.
I go back to the one theory, and Ron, you'll agree with me on this?
Maybe. I don't like to agree with you with anything.
Two words.
Maybe.
It's undefeated.
Yes. Yeah. That's correct.
So it can make you go crazy. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, I'll let people fill in. Okay. There's three things I always say are undefeated. Karma, old age, and there's something else, and I'll leave it at that.
Four. The 72 Miami Dolphins.
Oh, God. disgusting. Disgusting. All right. We'll break here. We'll come back, and we'll visit on this day in sports as we broadcast you from the Ale House in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
I'll guarantee that I'll never let you go.
I remember this one. Yeah, this one, Chuck.
Another 94 song. Is this like Boys to Men or something?
Yes. Boys to Men. That's right.
So, last night.
Chuck didn't like Boys to Men. Come on, man.
No.
You didn't like that movie, Boomerang?
Never watched it.
I watched Boomerang.
So last night.
Go ahead. Last night.
When I was posing to the wife, I said, hey, I got a great idea. Let me play songs from 94 because I wonder, was OJ banging these while he was cruising at 55 miles an hour in California? I wonder. Did
might
the
have
Boys
been.
To Men come across
Boys
those,
to Men.
That
might
radio
have been.
Tape deck?
AC, hey, OJ said, hey, AC, man. He gets threw some Boys to Men on there for
yeah,
me, man.
Yeah, exactly.
AC Cowens. We are at the Ale House. A couple of poll questions out there sponsored by All Site Contracting. Look, for all of your roll-off container needs, look, I always tell folks, you know, I've been with United Rentals for 34 years, and the best equipment rental company in the world, the biggest and the best. But I tell people we have everything construction equipment related, with the exception of roll off containers. That's why I say call my friends at All Site Contracting. Ask for Amy at 574-9000, 574-9000. If they don't have your roll-off container delivered the very next day, it's free. Chick Lock's free. It'd be free.
Free's great.
And I would think that they will show up, because I don't think anyone really wants to give anything away for free if they don't have to. All right, so poll questions again are these, and then we'll bring Dave in afterwards at 641-1010.
First poll question of the day brought to you by All Site Contracting, Inc. is, with college football spring games in full effect, what is your interest level? I'm all in. I have some interest. I don't really care. I don't really care is leading the way at 68.2%. And our second poll question, with Josh Allen having his deal done, if the draft capital works, who we want, Duvall? You want Ayuk, Higgins, or DK Metcalf as a dark horse? With 268 votes so far, leading the way is Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Chuck.
So, Ron, before you bring Dave in, I got homework for him. Number one, I'm going to let him know. I was thinking about him last week, and props to his NC State Wolfpack. And number two, I'm going to ask him, if you're a fan of the greatest golfer of all time, you can't like Tiger Woods. I challenge you, Ron, if you like Tiger. If you like Nicklaus, you can't like Tiger
yes,
Woods.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
You
I want
can
Dave
like them
not
both.
You.
In fact, I was not a Tiger fan, and I would like you. Man, I don't want him to break any
of
Jack Nicklaus's records.
Right.
But as all the hypocrites jumped on him for – all the off-the-course things that he did that so many others have done and were doing at the same dang time, I said, you know what? Bleep this.
Who jumped on him? My God, the media fawns over him. Nobody.
No, like the guy that runs Augusta National.
God,
oh, we're good. Like, no, like the guy, that, like the, an example, the guy that runs Augusta National, Hootie Johnson, whatever his name
him.
Is. Oh, my gosh. We're going to take him out
good.
Of Augusta. How dare you do something like that? Why he has his three young girlfriends probably
well,
at his house. Give me a
My
break,
God,
man. Let's go to Dave at 641-1010. What's up, Dave?
Well, first of all, Jack William Nicklaus is the greatest golfer of all time on the course and off the course, okay? There was never any ripple of any kind of controversy in his entire life. And simply put, I saw on Twitter this morning, somebody said that Tiger has 10 more tour victories than him. And I fired back at him, and I said, yeah, he's tied with Sam Snead. Has Sam Snead ever been called the greatest of all time?
No, answer, he please. Hasn't.
Okay. And it goes on and on about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam's probably in the top 10 of all time, no question.
Oh, but sure.
Never won a U.S. Open, though. So, I'll just leave it at that. Jack had 19 second place in majors. Man,
that was awfully impressive too. The 19 second place finishes in the majors. That's correct. That's big. It's a big number.
You know, and not only that, here's another one for you. They had Jackie Jr. when he was on his first year of the tour. They're driving in a car around the country from tournament to tournament. Barbara's in the back seat changing diapers. How's that? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's true. So, anyway, I'll leave it at that. Wolfpack, it was so fun seeing them get to where they got. And, you know, I knew Purdue would give them a tough game. But in the end, we were playing with house money to begin with. So it was great to see the whole thing. It's going to be good for recruiting. There's a guy from Kentucky that they're going after now, a Syracuse kid also. So in the long run, it was, it was great exposure. Kevin Keats got named the coach of the year. So it was a cool thing to see that happen. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it was a nice run. Look, everyone apparently was playing for second place, man. UConn was the best team in the country. Look, back-to-back years, obviously they go 12-0. They won every tournament game in the last 2 years by double digits. They are the San Antonio Spurs of college basketball, the most underappreciated dynasty ever. They've won their 12-1 in Final Four games. They're 6-0 in national championship games. Like the Spurs with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and then Robinson prior to that. They won so many titles, but you never talked about them. So underappreciated.
Yeah, sure. I know. Yeah. But back to the State-Purdue game, though, we played fantastic defense. I mean, we held them to 63 points. They were averaging 85 a game. They played great defense, too, and we just couldn't get that ball in the hoop in the second half. But
that's right.
But it was fun while it lasted. And as far as your music today, how about some Baby Boomer stuff? Maybe some Stones or The Who?
hey, that'd be okay, but it doesn't fit O.J. Simpson's 1994 narrative. You know?
Yeah, I got you. That's
there
cool.
You go. All right, Dave. Hey, man, thanks for calling.
As far as O.J., one more quick thing.
Yeah.
Ricky Ricardo would say, O.J. has some splaining to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess there was no deathbed confession. Yeah, there was a rumor.
No, that tweet, did you read it?
They all
What's
had
that?
To sign do not, no disclosure.
Non-disclosure agreements?
NDAs. Non-disclosure, yeah. What's NDAs, that about? What's that about?
Interesting.
Anyway, all right, enjoy the Masters.
Hey, Dave, thanks for the call, man.
So
Dave, 641-1010.
You didn't see a tweet, Ron. It could have been Photoshop, but said it the real O.J. has said, I did that blank.
Do what now?
Case, you've seen a tweet where supposedly he tweeted, and it's out there.
Who tweeted?
O.J. Right before he died, but they said his kids deleted it. It said, at the real O.J., it said, by the way, I did that, blankety blank.
Really?
Yeah, starts with an F. But that seems kind of odd. I'm looking photoshopped, I think.
That does seem very odd. Hey, speaking of, Dave was talking about college basketball up in NC State and transfer from Kentucky. Coach Cal going to Arkansas. How about Mark Pope? Of all the coaches that were rumored to possibly take the Kentucky job, they end up on Mark Pope. That has such a Ron Zook feel to it. You know what I mean by that is when Jeremy Foley flew around and was turned down by Shanahan and Stoops and all these guys. Okay, well, I know Ron Zook will say, yeah. And that's how this field played, you know, transferred from Washington to Kentucky, played at Kentucky. Okay, well, man, this guy, I mean, Billy said no. Nate Oates said no. I mean, everyone's telling me no. You know what? I know he'll take the job. I know he'll take it. Mark Pope will take it. I mean, that has that feel to it. Let's go to Chris and Yuli at 641-1010. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. I guess thanks for taking my call. A quick question. I was born in 87, so my OJ timeline is completely reversed from yours. My first knowledge of OJ story, I'll never forget. I was 7 years old, 94. I was watching Diagnosis Murder. Remember that show with Dick Van Dyke?
I do, actually, yeah.
Yeah, well, they broke in with the story of the low-speed chase, and then I heard about the Naked Gun movies, and then the Hurts, and then the NFL. So what was he like in so June 11th, 94, before it all went down? What was he looked at? Is like America's sweetheart kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, he was looked at. He was the dude with the big smile, sideline reporter, obviously Heisman Trophy Award winner, 2,000 yards in 14 games, beloved by everybody. Like I said, Hollywood, you name it, he was the guy. You know, and then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. When you heard that story, it was like, OJ? Really? OJ? But then, obviously, had there been social media, had there been, like, you know, camera phones and things like that, then that there is now, oh, my gosh. It would have, no one would have ever thought of him as that person because it would have been all over the place of the things that he did, you know. Whether it's in restaurants, at clubs, or behind closed doors, oh, it would have been ugly. Because he just would. Go ahead.
So now, given that good guy resume that you just gave for OJ, who would you compare that to today? That's a hard question. Who would, if it happened today, you'd be like, no way this guy could do that. He's too much of a sweetheart. Would it be like maybe like Peyton Manning or The Rock?
It'd be like Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Not quite.
Well, know what I mean by that. OJ was beloved. Tim Tebow, I mean, all the things, what he's saying, Chuck, is someone that you thought was the greatest guy in the world. I can't believe that guy did that. That's what we thought of OJ. I can't believe that guy did that. Tim Tebow was like, is as good a human being as you could possibly imagine, a better person than he ever was an athlete. If you ever heard, like, whoa, do what? I mean, you would be absolutely shocked, if you ever heard something like that. Wouldn't you? Would you not be shocked?
For Tebow?
Yes.
But I don't, yeah, but I don't put OJ in the
You don't
Tebow
think you
category.
Weren't you were not shocked when you heard that about him?
Yes, I was shocked, but to me, if you'd have said, you know, of course.
Okay, give me an athlete. Who would you say today?
OJ
today's
came
athlete.
Along 40 years, 50 years for Tebow. If you'd have said, who's more likely to commit murder, I'd say OJ. Tebow would shock me more than OJ.
Well, just take murder out of it. Just like a bunch of just bad stuff. Just a bunch of bad stuff. I mean, I'm just, again, it was just a guy
guy, but I don't think we didn't think of OJ like through Tebow that he's, you know, just deity, did we? I don't think we did.
I don't know what we thought of him. All I know is that he was American. Like the guy said, Eric, he said, Chris from Yuli said he was America's sweetheart. And he was. He was beloved by everybody. Oh, my gosh. There's OJ. I just seen OJ. Oh, can I take a selfie with you, OJ? I mean, all those things. I mean, he was like, everyone loved him.
Yeah.
No one would ever say a bad. I mean, you've never heard anyone say a bad thing about him prior to all of that happening, ever. Think about that. No, nothing negative. Can you think of any negative comments ever made about O.J. Simpson up until that point, ever?
Nope.
No, I mean, that's my point. Is it'd be shocking. That was shocking when you heard that. It was shocking. If you ever heard that about Tim Tebow, it'd be shocking. That's all.
Well, okay.
That's all I mean. It'd be shocking.
And I don't want to call anybody out, but let's say there's some athlete today that's a genuine pain in the rear. If they murdered somebody, you still probably say that's probably shocking. You know.
Good. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure it would be. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back and we'll close it out from the L House in Tinseltown. For this on 1010XL.
Is Compton and Company on 1010XL.
Man, I even got Chuck's head to bob a little bit. Let me see that Tootsie Roll. How about that? Hey, I've done a Tootsie Roll before. I ain't no shame in the game, Chuck. Casey.
69 Boys.
Yeah.
Yes. Not to be confused with 95 South.
No, he did. By the way, real quick, I would encourage anybody that wants to know more about the O.J. Simpson.
That's right.
Made in America, the O.J. Simpson. That you can find that on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that was on FX back in the day, wasn't it?
Made in America? Yeah, I think so. But it's it's like a 30 for 30, I think. So I encourage you to watch
it. Hey, Chuck, why don't you dip? Come on, Chuck. Get there and dip. Get there and dip, Chuck. Cotton candy sweet as gold. Let me see that Tootsie Roll, Chuck. I don't know, but I've been told. Ain't a cabbage patch. It's a Tootsie Roll. All right. We are about to close it out from Neil House in Tinseltown. Glad to have you along with us for all of your sports action. It's all right here. Place is packed, rightfully so. Major League Baseball, spring games, the Masters. It's all here. Chuck can't wait for the show to be over so he can get dialed in and watch Tiger Woods.
Yeah, skip that.
The Tiger Woods Network. Is that also known? You said it's also known as CBS?
Yes. This guy here said, you want Netflix? Is that like a Tiger? Didn't you say?
I said, just for Chuck Kelly, can we get the Tiger Woods Broadcasting Network? He said, Chuck said yes.
That. It's called CBS. Yeah,
that was good. That was well done, Chuck. I'll give you that.
Jeez, what do you think? Yeah, how many shots do you think you're going to miss by him today? I'm surprised CBS didn't start their cover at the time he teed off.
All right, so on this day in sports, we have some good ones. Good ones. On this date in 1954, Milwaukee Braves' Hank Aaron played his very first baseball game. And it's hard to say.
With the Braves, right? With the Major League.
With the Major League. Yeah, yeah. Major League. Maybe one of the most underrated players in Major League Baseball history. When you start compiling, hey, if I said give me your top five, top ten players, he would make it in the top ten, but I don't know that he makes it many people's top fives, but he was. I mean, he was, to me, the first true five-tool baseball player. He had everything. Everything. Power, speed, average, all of it, fielding, you name it, he had it. He was that dude, man. So on this date, 1954, Hank Aaron's very first game.
Well, we just passed
with the Milwaukee Braves.
Monday, the 50th anniversary of his home run.
That's correct. 15. That's correct. On this date, 1962, Stan the Man Musial hit his 1,869th run, a new National League record. On this date, 1962. On this date, 1963, Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, triples for his first Major League base hit. And you know what? How appropriate is that? When you think about his nickname, Charlie Hustle, his first ever base hit in the majors was for a triple. Yep. And you've got to hustle.
That's hard to get a triple.
To get a triple. So that was somewhat appropriate, I would say. And as we move along, on this date, this is for you and me, Chuck. This is for us. This is for us, Chuck. You ready?
Yeah.
Maybe. Date 1975, 39th U.S. Master Tournament. Jack Nicklaus wins his fifth Masters, one stroke ahead of Johnny Miller and Tim Weisskopf, Lee Elder, who was the first. Lee Elder was the first African-American to compete in the tournament.
That's not for us. You like Tiger Woods. That's not us.
I knew you were going to say it. That's why I said it that way.
That's
I knew
not
that.
Us.
I knew that. On this date, 1980, Sammy Ballesteros wins his first Masters, his first green jacket, four strokes ahead of Jack Newton. Jack Newton.
Who is that?
And Gibby Gilbert. I don't know. So he was.
Wait a minute. I'm not a huge golf fan, but I'm thinking I know golfers pretty well. Jack Newton.
On this date, 1980, U.S. and its allies boycott the Summer Olympics in Moscow in protest against Russia's invasion of Afghanistan.
Because the Olympics were in Moscow that year. Summer
Olympics. And think about that. The invasion of Afghanistan, where we are as a world now and that country.
Yeah.
We boycotted because Russia invaded Afghanistan. Undefeated boxer on this date, 1983, Tony Ayala gets 35 years for sexual assault.
35 years?
35 years.
That's like a lot. I mean,
Pete Rose again, 1984, becomes the first National League player to get 4,000 hits
in
a career.
Was
he with the Expos?
Okay.
And And this one is one of my favorite sports memories ever. Me and my dad, who passed away in 1991, sat and watched the 1986 Masters together and watched Jack Nicklaus win his final green jacket.
So is this the anniversary
of
it?
Yep.
Okay, well, you should have told me that. You're coming on. I got Tiger Woods in 97. Who cares? We got Nicklaus from 86.
Yes.
All right. Finally, something worth a flip.
Wins his record 18th major with a one-stroke victory over Greg Norman. Tom Kite shot a 65. I remember Bernie Lundquist, yes, sir. One of the greatest moments in my sports watching history. It was outstanding as we move forward here. On this date, Chuck, you might want to close your eyes. Close your ears. On this date, 1997, 61st U.S. Masters Tournament in Augusta National Golf Course, Tiger Woods wins his first major title, a record 12 strokes ahead of Tom Kite, for a total of 270, 18 under par, which was a tournament record at the time.
Good for him.
That excites you. I can hear in your voice that was a lot of sincerity that was going on right there. On this date, in 2004, Barry Bonds hits a 661st career home run, passing his godfather Willie Mays on the Major League Baseball all-time list. And there you go. That's it. And real quickly, we'll get Dave. I think Dave is in real quick at 6:41:10 to close the show.
Hey, man, real quick, I hate to call back, but Jack Newton was a pro from Australia that was a very good player, but he unfortunately, and it was reported that he was drunk, he backed into the propeller of an airplane leaving Australia, and it took his arm off.
I didn't know Jack Newton.
I didn't either.
I had not heard of
him. I knew Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton was on Vegas vacation.
Yes.
Wayne Newton was on Vegas vacation. Chevy Chase almost lost his lovely bride to Wayne Newton.
1980,
yeah, and Chuck, I got to correct you, Chuck. Tiger's three back. He has 15 majors. Jack has 18. You said one earlier. But anyway, thanks, guys.
All right. That was
Hope I said that, definitely.
Yeah, you didn't mean that if you said
it. No. If
you thought he was one back, you would have a complete meltdown every time Tiger's anywhere close to a golf course in a major, wouldn't you?
Because
Masters
is one tournament. He could win there when he's 98. He'll be able to win there, I think.
By the way, as we get out of here, we're just a couple minutes to go. Maybe the worst on this day in sports birthdays we've ever had. I had to go. I mean, it started like 1867, and it took about 30 people before I got to. I'm thinking, do I really have the right list here? It took all the way until, let's see here, Davis Love III, and no offense to St. Simon's resident, Davis Love III, resident of Charlotte, North Carolina, born in Charlotte, North Carolina. His 60th birthday, Davis Love III
like
today.
Sea Island.
And then the only other one that I even really knew was Eddie Robinson. I mean, as a linebacker for the Jaguars years ago. Bo Outlaw played for Orlando Magic. I remember him.
Eddie Robinson, not the Grambling coach?
No, not him. No linebacker.
Wow.
Hunter Pence, the weird swing Hunter Pence. See, there was nobody. I mean, there was no birthdays today. I think your birthday would have been a bigger deal today than those guys, Chuck.
It would be.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, as I hear the music, I meant to say earlier, Casey, you mentioned being at the very top of Truist Park. I remember me and my first ex-wife, Chuck, Brandy, when she was pregnant with Jessica, 8 months pregnant, big as a bowling ball. We ended up in Gainesville, and she was all the way up the very top of Benio Griffin Stadium, the very top with our backs against the wall. She wasn't happy with me. All right, so for Chuck Elliott, for Casey Dobson, for fine folks here at the Ale House in Tinseltown, until next Saturday, I'm Ron Compton. See ya.
Peace, everybody.
Just memories of a different
different life. Some that made us laugh, some that made us cry, one that made you have to say goodbye. What I'd give to run my fingers through your hair.